Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinkney to Pinkney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinkney. I tell you, this has been quite a week. Nobody will believe what is happening today. We're at war, a physical war, and I'm concerned about it. Here in the city of Benton Harbor and around the state, we are at war. We've been at war. This war didn't just come up. And I know what you say. We have seen a few become many. So don't be dismayed that there aren't a lot of people here right now. They're coming. We just need a few to stand up and show the way. See, here's the thing that people need to know. If you are silent about your pain, they will kill you and say you enjoy it. That's right. If you are silent about your pain, they will kill you. They will kill you and say you enjoy them killing you. That's the mentality of what we're dealing with. We're dealing with people who has no love for us. They don't like us. If they can't find a way to use you, to get something out of you, they have no use for you. And that's a fact. They have no use for you. You see, who makes all the decisions? White folks. White folks, they make all the decisions. Matter of fact, they can call for a world war right now, and there's nothing in this world you can do. How they treat us, and we accept it. And we got the nerves to want to be just like them. I mean, how do you be like the oppressor? How? Black folks walk around here with the oppressive mentality. That's when his ego gets to be big, or her ego gets to be too big. Their ego become more important. Ego become more important than the future of our children. Their ego become more important than anything that you could think of. Unbelievable. Malcolm said, a man who stands for nothing will fall for anything. We're really some nonviolent people. Who are nonviolent with us, though. You know, let the truth be told. The struggle that has taken place in recent years in Benton Harbor is a case in point, one that holds a numerous lesson for the American people. The fight at Benton Harbor is a war over whether America will have prosperity, democracy, or live with clean, safe water. Let the truth be told. Water is the latest saga in a ruthless pursuit of the naked corporation rule that is gripping the city of Benton Harbor, the state of Michigan, this country. And what is the cause? It is government failure. They don't care. What do they care about black folks? Most of the time, black folks don't care about black folks. Black folks be trying to please white folks, you know. Still got that slave mentality. Still trying to please. See, here in Benton Harbor, it's the government and the corporation. They have merged. And the correct word to use is fascism. It's right here. Fascism is right here. It's right here in the city of Benton Harbor, in the state of Michigan, and all around the country. You can sit there and say anything you want. It don't mean a thing. It don't mean a thing. The attack on Benton Harbor shows that the corporate power structure is determined to crush anyone who stands in its way. It's part of the process on the way across America in various forms. See, people don't really care about you. The only thing they actually care about is what you can do for them. If you can't do anything for them, they really don't even want you around. That's black folks, too. black folks has this mentality that you're the enemy, black man. Black folks, you're the enemy. You're the enemy. Don't see the big picture. Anytime that you don't see the big picture, this is what you will get every single time. You see, the oppressor knows exactly what he's doing, and he's not ashamed of it. You see, the difference between me and most people, there is no rules. I don't have no rules. I'm just trying to get things done. That's all I'm trying to do. I'm trying to show people the way that if you stand up and fight back, you can win. And I have a long history of winning. Matter of fact, I've been tearing them up. Only black men, and blacks don't hate it. They hate that I'm winning. They hate it. They want you to be just like them, afraid and intimidated by the white man. But he don't scare me. He don't scare me. You know, the worst he can do is kill me and send me to heaven. That's the only thing. And that's what you want to do. And, you know, they done tried the jail, prison, all this other kind of stuff, and they failed. They came out looking sick. They done did everything in their power. And they found out that I'm more than a match for them. More than a match. Even today, passing out this water. We've been passing out water since 2019. That's right. Religiously. And they have tried every trick to belittle us. Just the other day, they claimed that we were putting water on the sidewalk rather than on the porch. And they found out it was their crew doing it. We took pictures of it and sent it to them. And the news media, they called the news media, News 57, 16, 22, they all want to interview me. But when I got through whooping on them, they couldn't do a story because it had to be me in the wrong. You see, it had to be me in the wrong. But unfortunately, we was in the right. We done it again. Because I love whooping on them. I tell you, and look, and I don't ask for none of my black brothers and sisters to help me because they'll turn on you in a minute. For a few dollars, they'll tell on your mama. They don't care nothing in this world about you. They want to know what they can get. Where do I fit in? And here's the good news. We have a city governor here, a city governor, a black governor, government, and they don't have a clue what to do. I had to tell them how to get money to fix the roads. They didn't know. But they didn't want to ask me because that way they think that, he knows them. I'd rather for the people in Benton-Harbor to suffer than ask Reverend Pinckney. But I told them anyway. I told them exactly where they can get the money to fix the roads. And she should have been getting that money for the last 10 years, and they didn't do it. It's unfortunate, but that's just the way it is. Thing with this water. They want to take credit for it. I give them credit. Well, you know, they don't deserve no credit, but I give them because one of the things, government, when they don't know what to do, you need to tell them. I know what to do. I knew what to do. I knew that by filing that petition, what would happen. I knew it. I knew that it would get everybody moving. Even Biden, the president, I knew just by filing that petition, we would be able to do so much, and we was able to win. I know the white man game. I know what he do. But the problem is you got to get black folks to come together because we're 50 million strong. We're 50 million strong. And I can tell you this, 20 to 25 million supports white folks. That's right. They support because they don't know no better. When you don't know no better, that's what you do. And they think it's all right. Oh, you know, he liked me. Here's his mayor talking about he could be mayor in St. Joe. Boy, you can't even live over there. Talking about he can be mayor in St. Joe. That's how stupid he is. He's a Muslim brother. Who would believe? And this is Savior Day today. This is the day Minister Louis Farrakhan do his It's huge speech. And we yet still, Minister Farragut blasted Reverend Jesse Jackson for being a sellout. But yet he didn't blast this man for it. He's a straight-up sellout, boot kisser, butt kisser, you name it, book kisser, whatever you want to call him. He's all that. It's unfortunate. But any time that you're dealing with my brothers and sisters and you're hurting them, then you're hurting me. And that's just the way it is. Anytime. And listen, a black person's life is worth 16 months, according to Minnesota. The cop that murdered Dante Wright, 16 months. Man, what a world we live in. But we accept it. There's not a reason in this world, that we should be in such a compromised position. But the problem is, too many sellouts. If your brother, your sister is a sellout, call them a sellout. Call them. If you're a barber, don't cut his hair. That's how we deal with these people. Stop trying to act like they're some kind of heroes. These are not heroes. Matter of fact, they are hurting our children. Like our mayor, he should be tried for murder. He should be tried for murder. We don't even know how many people he done killed with this water, knowing it and didn't tell nobody, knowing the water was bad and refused to tell anybody that the water was bad. But on that note, I'm going to bring in my good friend James. He's been crying. He wants some more time. I'm going to give him more time today, and let's see how you handle it. So I want you to give me a call and grade his conversation. Can you do that, folks? I know we have a large listening audience today, a huge listening audience. And I must have hit something last week because my audience today is look like it's almost back up there over 50,000 now. So I'm looking at it, and it feels good. But James, come on in and talk to me. Tell me about yourself.
Hey, good afternoon, Reverend Pinckney.
Hey, what's up with you?
Man, same old, same old. It looked like, once again, we're the only race of people born. When we come out of our mama's womb, we have dark days and dark nights. And I believe what it is, the black leaders, we are getting them to change the light bulbs. That's why we got dark days. They are actually putting in the same bulb they're taking out.
Yeah.
We need to fire every black politician. I hear you say y'all been having lead in the water since 2019.
No, it's 2018. Maybe even before
2018.
Mm-hmm.
Reverend Pinckney, let me see. Let's do a credit background check like when you want to finance a house or a car. Flint had lead in the water first, if I can recall.
Yeah.
Obama was the president of the United States of America. And I do believe Flint, Michigan, is in the United States of America. Now, I remember watching Michael Moore. Michael Moore came on the Fox 2 News and said, Mr. Obama, when you come to the Detroit Auto Show next week, you need to come to Flint and address the problem. Obama came to the Detroit Auto Show. Flint is exactly 1 hour from Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
Obama stayed, I believe, the whole weekend. He never went to Flint. You would have thought all black lives matter. But see, we keep saying that. But our leaders is showing us something different. How can a president claim he the president for all people? And I assume Flint is all people. And he never went to Flint. When it was over with, he got on Air Force One, and that airplane in reverse was going so fast to spin around on that runway, head back to D.C. He never went up north to Flint.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute, James. What you saying? You saying that he speeded his way out of Michigan? He was
Watch this, Reverend Pinckney. Watch this. The airplane was pointed north. to go that way. They fired that engine up and spun it around in reverse, headed back towards D.C., never headed towards Flint. See? Now, you should watch that documentary that Michael Moore did of Flint when Obama was up there. See, I watched C-SPAN when they had the trial and had the governor come to D.C. and some of the residents. That was something to see. You don't even hear none of the black radio hosts even talk about that. They don't allow you to talk about Obama. Now, Obama was at Cobra Hall. Why didn't he send the vice president to Flint? People steady drinking water that looked like orange juice, but it's water coming out, rust water. See? Biden didn't even go. He's the vice president. Nobody goes. So now, you the only one is fighting for your people. Because I remember some of my best friends still be on a lot of these talk shows. They won't mention what was on Fox 2 News, Channel 7 News, and Channel 4 News. When the mayor of Flint spoke on national TV and said, I got proof that the governor knew the water, that the governor said the water was safe to drink. She said she got the proof.
Mm.
She got the proof. Now, a week later or less, on the news, it come back on, somebody broke in City Hall in Flint and stole a color TV. Wow. Unheard of.
Yeah.
Time to go to trial. Nobody comes with the proof that they say they had. Now that the governor, ex-governor, gets a $1,000 fine and a year of probation, she just want to keep saying, why didn't he get more time? He might have got more time if you'd have came with your proof. See, these mayors, like you said, you got a black mayor up there. Our black mayors have failed our black people. Some of them best callers on her show every morning. We used to be friends, Reverend Pinckney, but when I don't agree with them to say what they want me to say, they don't like that. I don't care. I call it like it is. I don't call nobody's show to make no friends. I got my friends before I even call a show. That's what they don't like. How can you get on a show and say you got the number one show, but you fail the citizens in Flint?
Mm-hmm.
They haven't had three people call a two-hour show that live in Flint yet. It's always a guest that live up there where. Never nobody that live around poor people in Flint. Now, you know I've been asking you for weeks and weeks. I've been telling you about that six-year-old that got executed. I've been telling you. I've been trying to get Karen Weaver to talk about that. She would never talk about it. She always say, well, we can't talk about everything. Well, I think a six-year-old black baby's life was more important. They never want to mention anything to this five-year-old got killed a week ago. And even then, they didn't want to talk about the six-year-old, but they talk about the five-year-old. See, this is our problem. We got all the black radio hosts that any radio ever had combined together. They won't focus on the on the real problem. How can your radio host be your best friend when they don't live in your neighborhood, live the way you live? See, that's the problem. You can tell who the sellouts, and a lot of the callers that agree with these hosts, they are sellouts too. It's our people. How can you get on the radio every morning and talk about white folks and look at what black folks is doing to Ben Harbor? Ben Harbor had lead in the water since 2018. But you want to boycott the Super Bowl because if Biden don't pick the first black woman for the Supreme Court, well, what good is she going to do? We had a black president that did nothing. Who is more important?
James, remember this too. When you put black folks in positions like that, then they, for some reason, they turn white. They want to say, we got a black judge. We've been praying for a black judge. We got a black judge. And this lady is ridiculous. She's the epitome of a real seller, a bootleg. Matter of fact, she came in second place for the Sambo of the Year award for the city of Benton Harbor. That's how tough it was. But this is my problem, James. This is my problem. Listen to this. This is my problem. We're campaigning for black folks to get to a certain position, and when they get in their position, they turn white.
they become white folks, and they start hating black people and start doing black people in, and nobody say a mumbling word. Black folks scared to open their mouth. Scared to open their mouth.
Well, you know what it is, Reverend? They was already against us. See, this is what happened. See, growing up in the neighborhood, they was always drinking chocolate milk. That's what they had when they come out of their mama's chocolate milk. Just notice this. When they get a good office job, they go to drinking white milk. They don't put chocolate in it anymore. They don't put chocolate in it anymore.
They don't like chocolate proven milk fact. No more.
Huh? Oh, no, they don't like their people. They don't like chocolate milk. Nope, they want that white milk. You know the old saying, white man ice is colder than black man ice in the stove. Same way with this milk. They don't drink chocolate milk no more.
The white man ice is colder than the black man ice, huh?
Yes. Now watch this. You can't pick this up in Bent Harbor. Last Wednesday should have woke up every black person that was listening to the radio. I couldn't believe what I heard from 9 o'clock to 11 o'clock. And I couldn't believe Joanne Underwood. See, Joanne Underwood used to be for the citizens. But when you get a job downtown, you are no longer can defend your peoples. Now she worked downtown. How can you say we're going to walk door to door with this application to save your house, and we want you to fill it out while we're at the front door? But $650 million they took from the citizens, which they admitted to that, so we know it had to be a billion. You won't go to nobody's door to fight for that money. See, if you got your money back they owe you, you can pay your own bills, pay your own taxes. See, but what the catch is, you sign that application, fill it out, you're no longer eligible for that lawsuit. See? See how our people, these our people? See? I couldn't believe that. And Lord knows who was pushing that also. It had to be Sam. See, the people are so used to being abused, hollered at from their parents when they were little. This is what the black radio hosts do. They holler. They yell at them. They scare them. We are true in this country. I applaud you, Reverend Pinckney, for what you're doing, because you got a black mayor that's no good. Think about this. Every mayor everybody had messed over their own people. Every mayor, man or woman. How can you get on the show and say the governor knew the water was tainted, and you said you had the proof, but you don't come with the proof. But you get a radio show. And then the callers I used to speak to every morning before the shows come on, he called certain people a crackhead on the radio. She never checked him. But when a person called back in to defend themselves, she'll check them. This is why we will never, ever amount to anything. If the politicians don't live in your neighborhood while you living in there, they're not going to do nothing for you. They are against you. That's just the way it is. It's set up voting. Yeah, voting is supposed to work. But if you only got traitors running, you're going to get traitors' results. They say, well, vote them back out. Vote them out 4 years later. But look at the damage they've done to their own
people. What's going on with you, man? Yeah, you're doing it today. You getting some bullet points, brother.
Because I'm just like, what's that, Reverend Pinckney? Me and you in the same boat. The ones that used to be my friends, they don't like me speaking the truth. So I don't need them. I don't need no friends because you ain't my friend in the first place. Those are the ones that don't drink chocolate milk anymore. See, you got bad callers, just like you got bad radio hosts. Now, you watch that. Charter Commission meeting. I used to go to the Charter Commission meeting. Not one radio host would come. Not one black radio host. I would call them on Wednesday. But they had one on Tuesdays, and I would call them on Monday. They had one on Saturdays. I would call each one of them. Oh, no, we ain't got time for that. Too much drama going on. Not one go. Not one will come. Now, about 2 years later, Sam started coming. And I know Sam. I know his voice. Sometimes he sat right next to me. Three different locations. I'm sorry. Three different occasions. Somebody called the police, said there was fighting going on in the meeting. So we just said it had to be the chairwoman.
Yes.
But How is it reached three times? Sam done disappeared in the thin air just as the police was coming through the door. Is he Houdini or what? I mean, I couldn't believe this. Three different times. The police come in and said, well, we don't see nobody fighting. See somebody making these fake calls to the police.
Yeah.
Just like last week. Sam got a good caller. He loves him. The man said, I want to give the, what did he always say to the high and mighty first? Sam said, we ain't got time for that. You're not going to say that on my show, and you're not allowed to call in and talk about the $650 million that the mayor took. Because if you do, he's going to hang up on him. And he did it, too.
See, he hung up on him?
They playing both sides of the fence. See?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to stay on one side. I'm not going to jump. See, that's just like being on a ship. They ship jumping.
Yeah.
They're on the ship with you. They're on the ship with you. Now, watch this, President Pinckney. Soon as that other ship come head on, they done leaped off on the other ship, left you on there by yourself, knowing there's a hole in the bottom of that ship.
They don't even care. Mm-mm.
They don't care
Mm-mm.
about their people. But guess what? The peoples, they must don't even care either. They accept the abuse on the radio. They'll tell you, you can't cuss on the radio. But they do all the cussing. See, that's mental abuse. So somebody must be paying these fines to the FCC because they do more cussing words than any words. See, and I'm going to hear my name tomorrow, but I don't care. You wasn't my friend in the first place. None of y'all was. You wasn't my friend.
You go.
I was born into this world. My mama didn't have no twins. I'm going to leave here by myself, and I don't mind. You're not going to control me like you control the rest of them. See, before the election, you had two radio hosts that was fair to everybody. Wayne used to come on from 7 in the morning to 9 in the evening, Monday through Friday. Andre came on at 7 at night to 9 at night. But they treated everybody with respect. They let a Democrat talk, a Republican talk. They didn't take no sides. This is why they got rid of them two hosts, because now the host you got is nothing but all Democrats. This is how they control them. A lot of the callers used to
problem.
Call there. They don't even call them.
And James, remember this.
Yeah.
If being a Democrat has never gotten us nowhere. I mean, we sit around here and holler, I'm a Democrat. Well, you're a Democrat. What do that mean? They the one that kicking us in the butt all the time.
Yeah. See, this is where the confusion comes in. They say they are
absolutely
Democrats.
Listen, you got about two minutes. I want you to talk about that little boy that got. Just talk
but
about that for a second. You got 2 minutes and two minutes only.
Okay.
So go.
They say they're Democrats. They say they're Democrats. But the Democrat politicians are nothing but in the closet Republicans. See, so they're going to play bamboozle. How can you hear every day? Well, we play chess. We don't play checkers. But the white man ain't playing no game at all. He's steady taking from you, black people. He's steady taking from you. And then to hear somebody say, oh, we don't condone violence. But radio host, you allow violence to be done to your people. Quit controlling your people that way. You build them up every morning talking about, here we go again. Taser, taser, taser. Did she cry hard enough? All that killing went on in Flint. Did you cry hard enough, Miss Weaver? What about the two 19-year-old girls that was executed? See, she won't talk about that. She talked while you talking. This is what she do. She talks while you talking. But on a Wednesday, about 4 or 5 weeks ago, it was a white man called in and brought that to her attention about that killing. That's the third time three different callers have done that. That's the only time she be quiet. Other than that, but I understand I got
to go, brother,
and I'll see you or hear from you next Sunday.
All right, my brother. Take care of yourself.
All
right, it's going down.
Hold
that's all. Only thing I can tell you is going down, James, and we ain't taking no prisoners because we can't afford to feed them.
I don't blame.
That's what it's all about. My brother. All right. That was my big brother, James, from Detroit, Michigan. And I'm going to bring in the one and only Dr. Tucker, but he calls himself the one and only Red, a man of wisdom, a man who's willing to fight, who's willing to get into the trenches, and he stands for something, and he is my brother. My brother, Dr. Tucker, better known as Red, talk to me.
Good afternoon, Reverend Pinckney. How you doing?
Man, I'm doing great, man. Good to hear your voice, my brother.
Good to hear your voice, too.
Well, we know it's going down, so let's make it happen.
Good. Let's start off with a prayer, Reverend Pinckney. I think it's important that we start off with prayer today. And I'd just like to pray, dear God in heaven, thank you for this moment where we are meeting to fellowship and share information with our brothers and sisters. Dear God, as you prepare for this show, I ask you, Heavenly Father, to guide my thoughts and control my mind and just help me be able to get the truth out there and talk about there about who we are. And dear God, bless Reverend Pinckney in this show. Dear God, I ask you this afternoon just to bless African Americans in this country who are struggling. As the brother just said, you know, democracy does not exist for African Americans. So in Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen and amen and amen. My brother, hey, that was sweet, man. I love it. All right, well let's get down on it now. Let's not take no prisoners, or we can't afford to feed them. Let's do what we need to do.
Okay, well let's start with Black History Month. You know, we definitely got to get honor to the ancestors and those who paved the way for us. And it's important for all people to know, including those teachers and professors who don't teach about Black history in school, that Dr. Carter G. Woodson is the father of Black History Month. And it's also important for people to know, Reverend Pinckney, that if you are Black, you are Black history. I am Black history. And we must celebrate Black history every day, not just one month. As a retired educator, how we have been miseducated by the current education system. I taught history for 20-plus years. We're not included in history books. And I fought to have that, you know, to make sure we're inclusive, but I was able to just get some token classes in there to teach about who we are. So my challenge this afternoon as we talk at the end of Black History Month is that Black parents, it's important that you get involved in the school districts where your children attend school and demand that they teach Black history and make sure that it's accurate history and proper history, because without history, we'll continue and stay in the same conditions we are today. Saying that, Reverend Pinckney, I'd like to talk briefly about what's happening in Texas. And in Texas, you know, they're banning textbooks. They are suppressing Black votes. They continue to violate Black civil and human rights. And that's significant because on June 17th of 2021, President Biden signed the Juneteenth National Independence Act. And that act supposedly have, you know, been our independence of freedom. But I want you to know that there's two Juneteenth during the month of June. One is the Juneteenth where you have barbecues, picnics, you know, just dancing and everything else, and you're not really dealing with what Juneteenth is about. So it's important for your audience to know that Juneteenth is about democracy, and that is our civil and human rights in this country. That's what we should be focusing on, and we should demand that the Juneteenth National Independence Act, signed on June 17, 2021, we should demand that those Black legislators, who I think Sheila Jackson out of Texas and another Republican representative out of Texas, they signed that little document into law, and the sad part is, Reverend, it has no teeth. And I said again, it has no teeth. The only people that will benefit from that act will be the descendants of slave owners, and that's those white folks who own the transportation system, hotels, and who will be making paraphernalia to sell to our people. I know I said a lot, Reverend Pinckney, but it's important that we benefit from the Juneteenth National Independence Act. Saying that, let's hear from you.
Yeah.
I say hearing that, this says hear from you, because I said a whole lot there.
Yeah, you did. As a matter of fact, you said a great deal. And that was educational right there, because a lot of people don't know. They don't know nothing about Juneteenth. They don't have a clue what Juneteenth actually means. So what we have to do, we have to keep educating our people. We've got to educate them, and educate. Even the ones who don't want to be educated. Now, we have a lot of folks who don't want to know.
You know, we got a lot of folks who want to be just like these white folks. We, you know, everything is all right. A guy told me the other day, he said, man, everything is going good around here now. I said, yeah, it is going good, but it took 3 years of suffering to get us to right here. I said, 3 years, and they knew the water was bad and didn't tell nobody that the water was bad. And then I said, this is the problem. This is why educating about Juneteenth is so, so important. We need that information. We can't live without it. And we got to make sure our children. See, it's really not about us anymore. It's about our children. That's our foundation. If we don't build up our children, we're about to lose this war that we're fighting. We're at war right now, Doc. We're at war right now. And we're not fighting this war. You know, we're too busy fighting each other over nothing.
You're right, Reverend Lina, but as brother on the program said before you, we must expose those puppets, people out there who are not representing us and who are working for the oppressor. That's so important. But as we talk about Black history, Reverend Ping, it's important to understand also they want to give credit to John Granger, who went into Galveston, Texas on June 19th and freed the slaves. But the truth is it was the colored soldiers, the black soldiers, who went into Texas and played a major role in freeing the slaves in Galveston, Texas. And that part of history has not been told, and, of course, it's important for our people to understand that black soldiers participated in the Civil War. We had black Medal of Honor recipients. And, of course, those people have been totally excluded from the history books. So it's up to us to educate the people about Juneteenth. And also, one other thing, Doc, and that is they are trying to write the person who's responsible for nationalizing Juneteenth out of the history book. And that's Dr. Ron Meyer Sr. And he's the father of Juneteenth. And I worked with him from 1991 until 2018 when he passed away. And, of course, as a result of working with him, he traveled all over the country. He went from state to state. He sacrificed his life, money, and everything else. He met with legislators and people to make Juneteenth a national holiday. He started by saying we're going to get all 50 states to recognize Juneteenth. However, before he passed away, he was able to get 47 states to recognize Juneteenth as a national holiday. And this is important because too many people want to give credit for where credit is not due. And I was with him all the way up until when he was on his sick bed. And what happened was, Reverend Pingney, he was incoherent and on his deathbed, and an unknown person by the name of Steve William went in and stole his personal and intellectual property. And as a result of that, history is being distorted and not being told properly in this country. And even C-SPAN had this clown on C-SPAN, and he called himself representing the National Juneteenth Observance Foundation. He wasn't a part of it at the time. So, you know, the media play a major role in miseducating and not doing their homework and not presenting the proper information to our people. So it's up to people like you on your show, my newspaper called the African American Voice, to educate our people. We need to get our citizens and brothers and sisters to read more and really find time to listen to black shows like yours, read the African American Voice newspaper. And our newspaper is called African American Voice, VOICE.net. And in this month, Black History Month, we focus on post-traumatic slave disorder, post-traumatic slave syndrome. And these are things that have impacted us from slavery to present. And you know, we as a black people need healing, believe it or not. A lot of us are in denial, but the truth is we're still healing from slavery and Jim Crow and all the things we're going through today. And I say to the audience out there, don't be afraid to ask for help. Don't be afraid to go to a professional, a conscious professional, a black person, a white person who can address your issues, because this is serious. That's why we have so many issues in the black community.
Absolutely. I agree 100% on that. And yeah, you know, let me talk a little about your newspaper. I love your newspaper. I you know, right on the front page, you know, repeal the citizen arrest law. I just love it. I mean, it's really a remarkable newspaper, and it tells a story. I'm excited. You know, I see some of the people, even Coffee. You know, she was a friend of mine's
about 25 years ago. You know, I've been knowing her that long. You know, but yeah, this is huge. Well, let's talk about how our Juneteenth came and how black people come in and try to take over when they don't have to. You see, that's important too. How black people come in and anything that's going good, they try to do something to take away what other people have done. Because I remember when you invited me down to Colorado to speak for Juneteenth. I was down there. That was huge, you know. And I really enjoyed myself. We have to keep educating the people. If we don't educate them, we're missing the ball ourselves. We're dropping the ball, and we got to make sure that we're doing all the things that we need to do. And there's nothing more important than that, than doing that. But I just love your newspaper. I mean, you do all the things that need to be done, and you're such a huge person. And people don't even know all about you. You know, they know, but you're a fighter. You'll stand up and fight, and you'll make sure things are right. Whatever you do, I can count on you as saying it's good. It's the right thing to do. And I really, really appreciate that about you. I can honestly say that because that's who you are. And I'm glad to have you as a friend. I'm glad to have you a part of whatever we're doing. We just do things and make things happen, and that's what you do. And this Juneteenth fight that you're in, we got to make sure that we're on your side because you're on the right side. And you can count on me. Whatever you need me to do, I'll make myself available. And if we have to fly to St. Louis or fly to Texas or whatever we need to fly to, because this pandemic is kind of easing up a little bit, and maybe now we can start moving around just a little bit more. But you as a friend, I'm glad to have you as a friend. So talk to me.
But Peter, we don't want to fly to Texas, Dallas, to Texas, because number one, Texas is the leading state in voter suppression. They're the leading state in banning black books and authors from the classroom. And they're talking about Juneteenth free black folks. I mean, they're hypocrites, and no one want to talk about that. You got these people out here talking about celebrate Juneteenth, come to Texas and celebrate Juneteenth. And this is a state that supposedly freed the slaves on June 19th, 1865. But in reality, in 2022, Texas is a state that is keeping our black folks from voting. They're banning textbooks from the classroom, and they are getting rid of administrators and teachers who want to talk about black history. So we have got some issues. And so, you know, as far as I'm concerned, I would say boycott Texas, but, you know, that would take some time for a movement. But certainly that's the only action we can take to Texas, show them that we are not playing and that they're going to treat brothers and sisters right in Texas. They're going to stop denying them a right to vote, and they're going to do something about that voter suppression in the state of Texas. And if we don't do it, guess what? It's not going to happen, Reverend Pinkney. But not only Texas, is happening in other states too when they talk about they want to celebrate Juneteenth. And that's why I say Juneteenth is more than a barbecue. Juneteenth is more than dancing. Juneteenth is more than a parade. Juneteenth is about democracy. When General Granger and those black troops went to Texas to let the slaves know they were free, that should mean a lot to African Americans to know that we are free based up on the Constitution, 19th Amendment Constitution, and also the 14th Amendment that supposedly guaranteed a citizenship, and the 15th Amendment that guaranteed blacks a right to vote, Reverend Pinkney. So we got to hold white folks and black folks accountable.
That's right. We got to draw the line in the sand.
And don't go to Texas for nothing. Stay out of Texas. And the only way you're going to be able to send a message to those people in Texas, don't spend your money with them. And I guarantee you that they will start treating black folks right. They got those.
Listen, Doc. But, you know, that is one of the, Texas is one of the fastest growing states for black folks in the country.
That's because of the propaganda.
So,
They get down there like they did in Colorado. Once they get down there, they put them in old plantation prison. They send them to prison on Mickey Mouse stuff. That's how they keep their economy going for them white folks out there in those rural areas.
So, yeah, so we, you know, but we got to educate them. If we don't educate them and tell them, see, once we tell them and give them the information, we done our job. Because we can't say they did not know, you see. And to me, that's crucial. If the first thing a black person would say, well, I didn't know that, or I didn't know this, they'll say that in a minute. But then then you have to refresh their memory that, hey, remember when we told you so? We told you. And that's how we have to deal with black people. We have to refresh their memory. And if we don't, they will say in a minute they did not know something, and knowing that they knew it all along, which is unfortunate. But we have to get out here. If we don't stand up and fight for these people, see, what I fight for our children. That's who I fight for. Some of these folks got to die off, you know. But I fight for our children. My fight is for the future, to build a foundation for the future of our children so we can have something to build upon. We can't build upon something unless we go out and start dealing with our children. So that's my belief. I believe in Juneteenth. I believe that you're one of the greatest guys that ever brought that up and educate us on that. But you tell us what we need to do to help with that.
Well, first of all, we need to know our history. And like I said earlier, we need to know about Dr. Ron Myers, who was the founder of Juneteenth. He's the father of Juneteenth, and they're trying to write him out of the history books. You got individuals out there, and I'll call them by name, Steve Williams and Deborah Evans had very limited to them stealing his personal intellectual property. And it's up to citizens to know the truth about Juneteenth. What you need to do, I would say, number one, I would strongly encourage you to learn about who you are and where you came from. And I'm also president of an organization called ART 2063. That's called Asking Rising Together, 2063.org. And we got Save the Date out there. It'll be out there this week. And on April 1st and 2nd, we'll be having a webinar. And the theme of the webinar is Transatlantic Partnerships, Models, and Opportunities. And on this webinar, you have citizens will have an opportunity to learn about post-traumatic slave disorder, post-traumatic slave syndrome, and the impact that those things have on us today as black people. We also have a portion on the media, and that part, you know, as you know, as we talk about the media, March is a month we actually celebrate Black Press Week or month, and it's important to understand that, like the brother James said before I came on, he talked about the media in terms of how media is misrepresenting us and how they distort information and how they use the propaganda to brainwash our people. So the session – section dealing with the media, we hope to have solutions to how we're going to control our message in the community and find ways to turn this thing around. Because as you said, and I concur with you, we are living for the unborn babies, the youth today, and it's up to us to do something about it. And believe it or not, I don't want my brothers and sisters feeling discouraged if you're not a youth, but the truth is the people that make a difference are the people in their 60s, 70s, and 80 years old. Those are people that make that's the most important part of your life. That's when you do the most in your life. That's when you accomplish the most in your life. And it's important to understand that we have to get involved and make things happen.
Absolutely. And I strongly agree with that because a lot of times, see, black folks just don't get it. See, when you guys start getting involved, you get that pressure from other blacks, and you get pressure from the media try to condemn you, trying to find a way to belittle you, try to neutralize you. That's what the media do. But when the media understand that you don't care, see, that's the difference. See, I wish I could teach a class on dealing with the media, because the way you deal with the media, you know, what you do, you look them dead in the eye and tell them they're lying. That's all you have to do, because once you start saying that to them and they're seeing it and they're confused, that's what's happening down here. So let me tell you this. Just recently, News 57, News 22, News 16,
They all came to my building. They thought that they had Pinckney. We got Pinckney just where we want him. They come in there, and somebody had called them and said that we was putting water on the sidewalk, knowing that we wasn't. So what I did, I took pictures. It was their team that was putting water on the sidewalk, and when I showed them, they had to eat that story up. They was ready to, it was going to be on the 12 o'clock news. It was going to be on the 4 o'clock news. It was going to be on the 10 o'clock news. They was all fired up, ready to slam me, and I made them all look like a fool. And when I got through with them, they couldn't even run the story. They were so embarrassed. But this is how you deal with media, by dealing with truth. You see, the truth don't need no help. See, that's the difference between anything else. If you tell them the truth, you don't need no help. You don't need no help. If you got something for me and I'm telling the truth, bring it on. So that's how I would like to, you know, teach people how to deal with the media. Because, matter of fact, right now I got them eating out of my hand. So when are you going to have this webinar?
It's April 1st and 2nd. You go to our website. It should be up hopefully tonight or tomorrow. You will see save the date on April 1st and 2nd.
Okay, and send me the link. And I'm going to definitely try to attend and make
you
sure that I beat it.
You'll be able to register online. We have a barcode on there. You'll be able to register.
Okay.
And there's no cost involved. And, of course, we ask for donations. But, you know, if you don't want to donate, our most important thing is to educate our people and make people aware of what's going on. That's the key to us eventually having freedom and justice in this country, people being properly educated.
Absolutely. And we can't ask for no more than this. But, look, I got to let you go, Doc. But, listen, I'm going to call you later today, and I want to have a little conversation with you. Probably a little bit before 7, I'm going to give you a call. My time.
Sound good. So let's do that, because we need to plan something, organize something.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
We gotta
absolutely.
We're not just talking. We're gonna make something happen.
Absolutely. And I'm a man of action. I believe, and I know you are too, a man of action. And I think that's what we have to do. We have to show these people and show the way. And then if these bootlickers and sellouts get in that way, we just going to run right over them. That's how we have to deal with them. All right, my brother.
You're right.
I got to let you go.
All right. Thank you, everybody. Right, have a good afternoon. Bye-bye.
You do the same. God bless you, my brother.
All right.
All right. All right. That was my good friend, Red, the one and only Dr. Tucker, my very, very good friend. Anyhow, let me bring in Dr. Tanzer. I know he got something to say, so, and this time we can hear him. Everybody can hear him. We got such a huge listening audience today, and I'm really, really excited because it's something that we must have said last week to bring all these folks. Dr. Tanz, talk to me.
All right. Thank you, Honorable Reverend Pinckney. I was just listening, and I thought the young lady, Yolanda Isom, who you'd be dealing with, and how at the Benton Harbor Charter School, how they're trying to whiten up the charter school and remove the black, but that falls right into what the young man was talking about in terms of Juneteenth, and that he probably may have mentioned already John Horse. John Horse is the superhero for black people in America. John Horse fought 50 years against the U.S. government, starting first down in Florida, going all the way to Texas. And it was John Horse and another gentleman that fought. And that was the time during Andrew Jackson, because Andrew Jackson was sent down to Florida to try to break up the Indians and break up the blacks. See, people didn't know that there was a Native American tribe down there that accepted the African, and that group became called the Seminole, which means a word called runaway. So the Seminole was not a tribe. But Seminole was the descendants of enslaved Africans and the Indians coming together. And the chief married a black woman called Mourning Dew. And so the Indian war was over a black woman called Mourning Dew. And what these low-down dirty guys did was kidnap her, and that's how they were trying to bring the Seminoles or the Indians into submission. And people have to forget is that the Native people, the five civilized tribes, which you would call the five Sambo tribes or the five house Negro tribes, because, you know, Indians could be house Negroes too. But that five tribe are the ones who were the slave dealers and slave owners, and those were the ones who were involved in trying to break up the Underground Railroad. The Underground Railroad was not the road to Canada. The Underground Railroad was to head south, and especially Texas or even down into Florida, which was a big spot to get away from the slaves. And the other thing that's so important for your listening audience to understand is that the African hated the word slave. They did not see themselves as slaves. They called themselves prisoners of war. So our people called themselves prisoners of war. They never called them slaves. And that's why the writings would say that they were POWs, the prisoners of war. And that's why they did the Negro hymns that before I be a slave, I'll be buried in my grave. So anybody who's embracing the word slave, who's black, is embracing the slave mentality. And those are the ones that you find often in politics. And so, because they're the ones who do the tricks on the black people. So when you have the those blacks who are fighting, like John Horse, they win. And what happened is, what the Americans had to do, the white Europeans had to do, they had to bomb women and children to actually to try to win the battle. And so that whole Trail of Tears, one of the reasons why the Trail of Tears is because the government said, because you five tribes, you five American Indians, and this going right to the time when they're saying they're going to give them a treaty, that you open up what's called the Dole Commission, the D-O-L Commission, which if you can pay $5, which is like $100 today, they will put your name on the treaty. But many African Americans and many blacks did not want to be listed on that treaty. So that's why majority, when they looked at the genetics of all the whites who meet with Obama in the White House, most so-called American Indians are $5 Indians because they paid their way to be added to the roll of the five civil life tribes. Because your Native American was normally Native black. And so your Fulson, F-O-L-S-O-N, F-O-L-S-O-N, those going towards Arizona, that is your oldest humanoid, the oldest human that was on North America before the Alaskans came in. And they are the ones who mixed with the Alaskan. See, the Alaskan would have the Japanese eyes, but you never find American Indian with the Japanese or Chinese eyes because they had mixed with the African. So that's why you don't see that. And so that group close to Texas, so what you have is the black spreading across as a native people first, being black skinned. That's what Columbus said. That's what Balboa said. That's what Cortez said, that they, you know, they were black at that time, black skinned. And now we brown them up. But the thing is that those people didn't want to give us up at the end of slavery. And so the 1866 Indian Treaty, that's in federal court now for going on 30 years because Dr. Claude Anderson has been fighting to enforce that 1966 Indian Treaty, where the African or the descendants of enslaved Africans are entitled to reparations from the American Indians, not just from the United States, but also from the American Indians. So then another thing, so when we go back in that time frame, when we go into Texas, remember, that was a free area, free territory. And so when you're going towards Mexico, you see that the governor of Mexico was also a black man, was an African, and he didn't allow slavery in there. So fighting at the Alamo was all about trying to bring slavery to Mexico, and the blacks weren't having it. And so we have so our Juneteenth is a special thing because we were fighting for freedom on the East Coast all the way to the West Coast. And we see that today, that the mentality of the slave master, the mentality of the white soldier is still ever present today in your police department, because that's why they be so tired and they arrest their neck on a black man. Mm. Arresting, you know, the neck of a black man. And the thing about it, in Benton Harbor, let me tell you this. So in Benton Harbor, I got to make this clear. That gentleman gave good history, but Phil Gibson in 2009 brought Juneteenth to Benton Harbor, to Barron County, because there was a black young lady who's now called a commissioner, was trying to steal that history. She brought it. She tried to bring it up that she and a guy named Archie brought it, and that's a lie. No, Mr. Phil Gibson, who has a 50-acre farm and right outside on Exit 30, Water Elite, that area, he brought it to Barron County. Emma Kennard, Juanita Henry, went up to the Juneteenth celebration, and then they brought it to Benton Harbor, but it was small because black people's minds had never heard of Juneteenth. The following year, Sam Hudson stepped in because he attended the first one, and they did it bigger, and I was one of the speakers on that event. So I can tell you not what I heard, but what I participated in at both times, because Keep It Real performed at the Juneteenth, the first one. And the next thing that happened was then Mother Kennard, Sam Hudson, and they formed a group that these other two were involved in the background to add the parade to what was already established as the Juneteenth celebration. Then that's what happened. And then they hid that when they did the Juneteenth celebration on Main Street, that they did not honor the founder for the Benton Harbor, Barron County area, Mr. Phil Gibson. And so Sharon Henderson was left, speechless that she didn't know that, the mayor didn't know that they were not even honoring the person who actually brought it to town. And we made that clear to Whirlpool and to those guys that know it was Mr. Phil Gibson, Juanita Henry, Emma Kennard that brought this and brought the Juneteenth celebration to Benton Harbor.
Absolutely, absolutely. That is huge. But listen, we have just about ran out of time. And next week, same time, same station. But I just want everybody to know a black life is only worth 16 months when a cop kills a black man. When a cop kills a black man, the person that kills the black man receives 16 months. It's shameful and disgraceful. I don't see nobody hollering and screaming about it. But listen, I ran out of time, but next week, same time, same station, got the time, I will talk to you tomorrow at 1:30. So those of you out there, have a good night. God bless you, God keep you, and it's going down.